the book is really a guide to social media etiquette, thriving on social media, using it well, and just being able to be our best selves online.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Baby boomers make up 20% of the world's population, and we are doing things differently. We are communicating and using all the social media platforms at our disposal. But how well are we using these platforms? Today I have a writer and author who is going to share some tips on how we can use social media more responsibly. Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Anne Nelson. Today, my guest on the show is Kristen Johnson, and Kristen is a prize-winning, prize-finalist writer, blogger, a ghostwriter, a creative writing consultant, screenwriter, editor, and author. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you, Anne. It's wonderful to be here. Very wonderful to be on your show. You are certainly helping people do that with your wonderful guests and offerings.
It's one thing to talk about having money in retirement, but money doesn't always guarantee you a happy retirement, does it? We need to have some other skills up our sleeves as well. Now, you're an author of a book called Ain't You Got No Manners. That's an interesting title. Can you tell us a bit about your book?
Well, thank you very much. Yes, it is an interesting title. My editor is from Texas, so that was kind of her contribution in terms of the title, but she also, obviously, she did so much more in terms of contribution, and she was amazing. The book is really a guide to social media etiquette, thriving on social media, using it well, and just being able to be our best selves online.
Being our best selves online. And we are online a lot more than we ever were before. And my mum's nearly 90 and she's too old for all this, but we're now seeing baby boomers coming through retiring, and we are the single biggest generation ever, making up 20% of the world's population. And baby boomers are online. So would you like to help us be better?
I would indeed. And it's interesting because retirees are one of the fastest growing groups online. They grew, according to the Huffington Post published something, the retirees or people who aren't retirees and who are still working, 65 and older, grew 150% between 2009 and 2011 in terms of engagement on social media. And of those who go online, 71% do so daily. And they do so for, I think a lot of it is the educational and informational aspects. And it's exercising your mind, using it or losing it, per your wonderful guest, Carrie Hannon. And she was amazing. She had so much to contribute.
Yes, I'd like to mix up our guests, and so we have a variety on the show. Can you tell us more about your book?
Well, the book is really about being your best self online, being on Facebook, we're all on Facebook, and I know it's in the news recently. And of course, most of the older generations are on Facebook, but and the younger generations gravitate more toward Instagram, YouTube, and so forth. But whatever platform you're using, we're all on social media. And if we're not on social media actively using it, we're on social media because someone posts a picture of us, someone shares a video of us, someone tweets about us. And sometimes that involvement in our lives, not everybody wants that, but it's here to stay. And knowing how to incorporate it into your life, I think is a great part of retiring well and retiring healthy. And it's good for people at any age.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We need to be on top of this social media business. We need to be able to communicate with the younger generation. Did you have any aha moments that caused you to take on the social media cause?
Well, not per se. I had a few social media encounters and things like that. But I believe what really crystallized for me was seeing everything on Facebook, seeing everything everybody posted online, my friends, my writing colleagues, things like that. And just thinking that this landscape needed a guide for social media. I know that there are a lot of guides out there. However, I believe that we all can use a guide at times. We all can use a guide for retirement. We all can use a guide for health. We all can use a guide for investing. And I remember I was on the show with Kim Komando not too long ago, the digital goddess, and she said that a guide to social media is kind of like car insurance. Everybody knows you need it. However, not everybody uses it in the moment. You know, you're typing an email, you're typing on Facebook, you're posting a picture, and sometimes you post something without thinking. And one of the cornerstones of the book is, Ain't You Got No Manners, is the think button, which my late mother, who was very, very active, and even though she was a retired teacher, she never stopped learning. And she said, email programs have a save button, a send button. Why don't they have a think button? Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, that's important. To have a think button to be able to truly think about what you're posting and about what you're putting out there.
It sounds like a great idea, have a think button, because I know I certainly have a problem with checking my spelling mistakes. But have you personally had any experience with social media gaffes?
Well, I try to be very, very careful about what I post on social media, but One gaffe that I do remember was I attend writers' conferences. And one thing I do is I like to share inspirational quotes and things like that. And the great thing about such conferences is that you'll see a lot of people who are age 65 and over and things like that, as well as a mix of young and old. You'll see them just engaging in the writing and learning about writing and publishing books and so forth. So it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to be able to pursue that interest in retirement. But in any event, I was posting some of these wonderful snippets of wisdom from authors such as Catherine Ryan Hyde of Pay It Forward and some other wonderful, wonderful authors. And I found out I would post location of the conference. And somebody told me, hey, if you post the location of the conference, if you post where you are while you're on vacation, thieves check that kind of thing. They look, you really shouldn't advertise that you're not home. So, I mean, I love going on vacation. I love sharing things like that. But sometimes it's a little bit oversharing. You don't want to be overcautious, but you have to be careful. And I just read something about the grandparent scam. Do you know about the grandparent scam?
No.
Well, I don't know if they have it in Australia, but they do have it here. What happens is the caller gets information about your grandchild or you or somebody else, and they will call you and they'll say, "Help, I'm in trouble, grandma or grandpa, and I've been arrested. I need $3,000 to get out." And usually they'll put someone on the phone who claims to be from a representative of law enforcement or so on. And of course, it's completely a scam. But in that moment, and seniors are very savvy. I think when our emotions are played on, we're all a little bit vulnerable. And people have actually lost thousands of dollars because of the scam. And one of the things that happens with the scam, and AARP has a wonderful, wonderful information about it, including a doctor clip of the show, Dr. Phil, that where they talk about the grandparent scam. But they will use social media. They will comb social media to find out your name, your grandchild's name, recent family trips, and things like that, to the point of posting where you're going. And they will look at that and they will use that as a way to contact people and try to scam them. Isn't that awful?
Yes.
I mean, imagine getting a call like that saying that your grandchild was in jail or something else and you had to send all this money. And it's frightening.
Yeah. So something to be aware of, the grandparent scam. What's the best thing you've seen someone do online through their social media accounts?
The best thing? Oh, my goodness. I think some of the best things are raising awareness of causes and so forth. When people will raise money for a cause, I remember in Montecito, there was a mudslide and people use social media to promote the fundraising. Montecito, California, they had a mudslide this year, and it was really, really devastating, as well as the fire. And what they did was they would raise money for the victims of the mudslide. Wow. So that's one positive thing. I've seen so many positive things where people raise money online, people will raise awareness online. And it's really wonderful. This is an incredible tool to be able to connect with people and for people to share that love and reach out.
Yeah, sounds like a very good use. Before we go any further, I need to ask about what's best for personal use and what's best for business use. I believe you don't use Facebook. Is that true?
You know, that's a really good question about personal use and business use with Facebook. I think that LinkedIn is probably the number one platform for business use, especially according to what I read, more people are using LinkedIn for business use. But I've also seen people promote their business on Facebook. I don't know what the effectiveness is, but I've seen people have pages for their business. They drive traffic to their Facebook pages. I think it's still pretty viable, but you probably need to keep your business and Facebook, business and personal social media accounts separate. And it's not always easy to do that, but it's a good way. I've seen people have their personal Facebook and also their business Facebook. But LinkedIn seems to be the number one site for business. And retirees, people who are actively seeking a job, people who are retirees who are transitioning into a new career, they can really benefit from using LinkedIn.
Well, that's a good tip for LinkedIn. And I don't think you get any fake requests on LinkedIn. I seem to get fake friend requests all the time, and I mainly males, And I always look at the first thing I do is look at how many friends they've got. And if they've got zero, that's the first thing I do is go delete, report them as scam.
That's a good way to do it. I know that sometimes there are those fake friend requests out there. And also there's military scams out there. They call it military romance scams. There's an actual Facebook group called Military Romance Scams. And one, my editor got scammed, someone attempted to scam her, this person posing as a member of our fine military. And she was very savvy. She asked him what prison he was in. So, and she never heard from him again. But there have been women, right? But there have been women who have been taken by these people posing as U.S. military. I don't know if it's in other countries, but there have been women who have been taken. Luckily, my editor was super savvy and didn't fall for that. But the U.S. military never ever asks soldiers to pay for anything. So if they're requesting money from you for that purpose, it's most likely a scam. Same thing with and beware of it, just like the Facebook friends. It's kind of like fake book. We could call it fake book.
And before we finish up, we just want to touch on some of the other social media platforms out there. What do you think about Twitter and Instagram? How are they used best?
Twitter, I think, is very difficult to use. It's great for short bursts. I've even seen people promote their books. And of course, we have a U.S. president tweeting and everything, and other politicians tweeting. I think it can be incredibly effective, but you just have to not get caught up in the back and forth. And just like anything else, it's probably not a great tool for political discussion. Then again, neither is Facebook, because I've seen political arguments get very, very heated rapidly on Facebook. But in terms of Twitter, you might try to do something to go viral. There have been people who have made tremendous mistakes about that. But again, as with any other social media platform, don't be worried about getting so many followers or just responding to everybody. Don't feed the Twitter trolls is, I guess, what I would say, because I scroll through these tweets. You might do this too. And you just see all these people tweeting back and forth and just attacking each other. And it's tempting to dive right in, but that's probably not a good use of time or energy.
Have you got any closing thoughts on Instagram?
Instagram is a beautiful platform. I love it. My whole thing with Instagram is I think that people have done amazing creative things. People have posted photo art and so forth, and you can use it to promote your business. It's incredible. I have friends that use it to promote their businesses. The thing about Instagram and posting photos is, I would say, it's more of a general photo tip. Just think before you post a photo of the people that are in the photo. Just make sure that you're posting something that people wouldn't mind if it was out there, that it's flattering or that it's something that they want or at least are okay with, because it's just really about common sense. I read something that according to a McAfee survey, 71% of parents, grandparents agree that, if you post photos of kids, they could end up in the wrong hands, but 30% do it anyway. So you just have to use a lot of common sense in terms of Instagram, especially posting pictures of kids.
Yeah, because is that true that once you post your photos, you don't own them anymore? Anyone can use them for anything?
That's really a good question. I That's definitely a great question. And unfortunately, I don't have the answer to that. And I do know that once you post them, even if you delete them, sometimes they're out there floating on the internet. So just be very careful.
All right.
What has your experience been using the internet, especially with this podcast? Interacting with your audience?
I've been using all of it. Yeah, but I believe I'm being told that the videos are getting more popular, so it will have to change, I suppose, and to include the video in the future. Video interviews apparently the thing of the future, or what people are wanting to pay attention to. Also, also shorter stories as well.
You mean our attention span is getting smaller?
Something like that. Or we're doing multiple things at the same time.
Exactly. So we're trying to listen to this, or we're trying to listen to a podcast, and sometimes, you know, we lose the thread in the middle of it, and we're multitasking, and it's kind of like you wish you could just slow down and let the podcast and focus on one thing, but that doesn't seem to be the modern life. But if you can do it, that's another tip I would say. Just try to. It's very easy to get digitally distracted. So,
yeah. To summarize, what are your best tips for using social media?
Well, my best tips are, number one, think before you post. Number two, don't get too upset about all the trolls. Number three, beware of scams. Beware of people mining social media to scam you. And also use it for good. Use it for charity, like Neville Garnham. I believe he was one of your interviewees. He gave a great interview. And you can use it to connect with people and raise money and raise awareness for charity. And also, number four, don't let it take the place of real social interaction, because it's great for many people to keep up with people and keep engaged and so on. And it's terrific to Carrie Hannon's point, for retired people in the workforce, older people who are trying to show that they're technologically savvy, and many of them are. But it shouldn't take the place of real human interaction. And I'm guilty of this too, because I love using social media and cell phones to catch up with people. But the real social interaction is nice too, and it's kind of as an enhancement to social interaction.
Well, thanks very much for being part of the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. And if people wanted to find out more about your book and how to get in touch with you, where would they go, Kristen?
They would go to augnm.com, which is the blog for the book. They would go to kristinjohnson.net, K-R-I-S-T-I-N, Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N.net. And they would go to find Ain't You Got No Manners. That you can order it on Amazon or Smashwords.
Well, thanks very much. It's a great message that you've got out there. There are people out there that are trying to do us harm, even though we believe the best in everyone. But thanks very much for being part of the show today.
Well, thank you very much. And just don't lose the faith. There's a lot of good people out there.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.